Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and I got a co-host today. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Bob. It's good to be back.
Doug McBurney's back now that you've been liberated from a job.
Yeah, and I wanted to lead off the show with my tales from the unemployment office. That was my plan.
But we'll do that on another show.
Well, I just haven't been able to bring myself to go down.
Because there's so much important news to cover, Doug.
I can't go. I can't do it.
Doug McBurney is...
I'm not good at standing in line.
...is a longtime co-host of Bob Enyart Live, but you haven't been on the air for ages because you had a job, that cruelty...
Had a job, yeah.
...of an employer.
Yeah.
Now you've been liberated by the Bush administration.
Free at last! Free at last!
That's right.
Yes.
You don't have the burden of trying to figure out how to spend a paycheck.
No. Yeah. Yeah. And it really makes daily decision-making a lot easier.
That's right, when you just don't have any money.
Yeah. Now, I saw when I was discussing with you earlier about what we were going to do on the show, you attached an article about this honest golfer. And I've got to tell you, it was a very compelling story.
Isn't it exciting?
Yeah. His name is J.P. Hayes,
and
he won a tournament. Is that the gist I got from the story?
Yeah, he won, which means he qualified to be on the PGA Tour for the next year.
Which is that's a guaranteed six-figure income, I think.
Yeah, he's made millions in the past, and he's looking forward to making another million or more this coming year.
Yeah.
And what did he do? It turns out that his caddy threw him the wrong ball. And
I didn't know you could do what? He threw him a tennis ball?
No, it was a golf ball, but you got to continue playing through a hole with the same ball, and there are certain balls that are legal, others that are not.
Well, see, I have never played a single hole with the same ball, so I wouldn't know. I've never made it from the tee all the way into the cup with one single ball. But a fairly arcane rule that was broken unintentionally.
Well, unintentionally, and he basically turned himself in, and no one would have known. Nobody would have known. And he said, look, I broke this rule. I did it by accident, but now I'm out. He knew he'd be disqualified, and he is. And what an example he is to our Christian leaders, to me, to our church, that integrity and principles matter more than the outcome. The ends don't justify the means. He could have said, you know, I'm a good guy, and I know I could use that $1 million for good.
Yeah,
I'll use it for God. But God doesn't want that kind of victory. He doesn't want those kinds of resources. So this guy is a hero. What is his name?
J.P. Hayes. What a great story.
Yeah. Encouraging.
What a great story. Yeah, that was.
Not all the news is encouraging, though.
No, Bob. There's pirates.
Pirates
on the loose. Have you heard, laddie? There's pirates.
Oh, and Obama's going to have to deal with these guys.
That's right. Now, George Bush, when he first was elected, he had to deal with the Islamists and the terrorists.
Yeah, the jihadists.
The jihadists.
Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
And now Obama's going to have to deal with the pirates.
Pirates, but not to worry, Mr.
An all-out war to the shores of Tripoli, right? We're headed back.
That's right. It was funny because Drudge is so good at headlines, but he had a headline of Dawn of the Pirates.
Dawn of the Pirates.
And it's not really the Dawn of the Pirates. I mean, pirates have been around for a long time. It goes way, 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 way back.
Yeah, what is that song, To the Shores of
the
Tripoli?
The Marine Corps hymn talks about the shores of Tripoli when the Marines were called in because the navies of the world couldn't seem to get their arms around this problem of piracy.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they brought in a bunch of Marines, and they would pull up alongside the ship. They would jump on the ship and then hack the pirates to death with swords, and they would shoot them and hack them to death.
Now, that seems like a good plan.
That's a solid plan against pirates.
But the UN voted today. They voted a different plan.
Obama need not worry too much because the United Nations is on the case. They're going to sanction. They're going to try sanctions against the pirates.
Now, wait a minute.
How do you sanction a pirate? Do you prevent his parrot from being able to renew his passport?
To be a little more, I think you're
you put a tax on eye patches so that whenever someone buys an eye patch, the UN receives funds that they can use to stop piracy.
Yeah, well, I think you're quoting from the Huffington Post here. Fox News, although the liberal, I think they have a little more accurately. The United Nations wants to sanction Somalia.
Oh, Somalia.
Where these pirates are from.
Now, how are you going to impose sanctions on a government that has nothing?
Somalia.
What are you going to sanction?
And
are you going to prevent the importation of poverty, death, and suffering against Somalia?
Isn't Mogadishu in Somalia? Mogadishu,
it is.
Right?
Mogadishu.
I remember having the Rocky Mountain News foreign affairs correspondent on the show, Holger Jensen.
Holger Jensen.
And we talked about, I had him in studio. We talked about Somalia, and he had just been there. And he said, you know, we're giving aid to Somalia. And I tried to explain to Holger that that was a mistake, because the number one industry in Somalia was the distribution of welfare, the distribution of aid. That's the number one. In fact, Africa as a continent had been destroyed by trillions of dollars of welfare. Actually, their economies were growing significantly before the West started pouring in hundreds of billions of dollars. And you destroyed, just look at Detroit. Yeah. Now look at Benton Harbor, Michigan. Look at anywhere where, what comes first, a bombed out house in a residential neighborhood or a welfare check? The first thing that comes is the welfare check, then the bombed out neighborhoods.
And not just Somalia, but great portions of Africa, it seems to me, at least in, for my entire living memory, the entire continent of Africa seems to have been the recipient of some form of welfare for as far back as I can recall.
Yeah, and it, excuse me.
I know, it's enough to make you sick.
Pirates got my neck.
The pirates have gotten to him.
We've destroyed Africa, just like we've destroyed generations in this country with welfare.
Yeah.
It's misguided compassion that destroys the people who receive it. But, hey, when people don't care, they don't care. They know that it's rebellion against God, because God said, do not steal. So they take money by force from young families.
Right.
And they use it to buy votes and to, you know, to ply their liberal ideology. And they destroy millions and millions of people because they disobey God.
And it's interesting to think about where Somalia has gone from since 1991, when the whole world focused on them and began to got them on the welfare rolls.
But they're good now, Doug, because the UN helped form a government in Somalia back about 4 years ago.
They did.
Yeah, the UN helped form their current government.
Oh, no, I wasn't aware that they had any functioning government.
They basically don't, but the UN helped put it in place.
The UN helped put it in place, but it's the pirates who are actually putting people on the payroll.
That's right, and they are Muslims, too.
They are Muslims, and you know, I've read a number of stories, and nobody seems to ever notice it, or maybe it really isn't worth mentioning that they're Muslim pirates, because I don't know that they're doing it for the glory of Allah.
They don't point that out. You know, Clint Eastwood, I think he's evil. Is he evil, Clint Eastwood?
Yeah, he's evil.
Is he the mayor of some city in California, or is that some other? I think he's mayor of something by the—
Yeah, he was the mayor of
something. By the bay or something by the sea.
Yeah, something like that.
And his recent movie, Changeling, he's got a mass murderer who killed all these boys, young boys.
Mm-hmm.
And he presents this guy in the movie as a Christian, because they go in his home— and he's got his Bible open and his cross and his candles.
Yeah.
But he completely leaves out of the story that the guy was a homosexual child molester. No hint of the guy being a homosexual. It's based on a true story. So they take a homosexual child molester, tell the world he was a Christian, but not that he molested boys. He's just a Christian child murderer, mass murderer.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, Clint Eastwood counts himself among the Hollywood conservatives, or at least Republicans.
No, I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so.
You don't think he's a Republican? Google that. I want to know right now if Clint Eastwood is a Republican.
We'll ask our
crack research team.
Yeah.
I want to know if Clint Eastwood is a Republican.
And Daryl Burkey, calling Daryl Burkey. We'll find an answer on that.
So the UN, they're going to, I was mistaken. Sanctions, I want to correct myself.
Pirates.
They're not going to sanction the pirates.
Well,
it's kind of hard to sanction a pirate.
Well, they're sanctioning the government, which, well, it's the government there is fighting an Islamic insurgency.
Yes.
And, you know, Islam is very tolerant around the world, wherever it gets control, governmental control.
Right.
So Somalia is a disaster. It's a certifiable disaster.
And so they're turning to piracy.
And you know what? There's almost no people there per square mile.
Yeah, almost nobody there.
The liberals, they think the problem is overpopulation.
Yeah.
It's often the opposite. The least dense nations, I'm speaking population-wise, are often the most miserable places to live. And the higher density cities and countries are often dramatically nicer places. places to live.
Yeah, well, when there aren't a lot of people around, there aren't a lot of people you can serve, so there's not a lot of opportunities to start businesses, to serve your fellow man. Right. So what do? You grab an AK-47, you hijack an oil tank.
Yeah, right. Compare Japan. You've been to Japan?
Been to Japan. It's crowded.
Versus China.
Yeah.
All right? China is way less dense, people per square mile. Like, I don't know, on an order of five times more people per square mile in Japan than China, something like that.
Yeah, five or maybe 500
And the
times.
Standard of living in Japan versus China, you have to find a new kind of chart to compare
it's dramatically different.
Yeah, so it's not true that overpopulation causes poverty. That's not true. That's a lie.
No, and, you know, I've been a sales rep for years, and what does a sales rep want? He wants a territory with the most people. You know, the guy who gets L.A., he basically wins the lottery. Mm. You know, the guy who gets Pueblo, Colorado, he's not nearly as happy.
Yeah, and Doug, there was a public school board member in the Denver area. His last name was Fish.
Okay.
Some years ago, he wrote a letter to the editor, and he said it was Somalia's overpopulation problem that caused their poverty.
Uh-huh.
So I got him on the show and asked him, what's their population? He didn't know. What's the population density? He didn't know. Just roughly, per square mile. How does it compare to any other country? He didn't know.
Right.
They're like no people in Somalia per square mile.
Talk about blind faith in a religious idea.
Yeah.
That's what that's out.
You were right.
All right. Yeah, just to correct.
Clint Eastwood.
Is a registered Republican, but.
He says he's a libertarian.
Well, there you go. That's two strikes.
That's pretty much, yeah.
And that movie's three.
And that's pretty much the Republican Party today. Yeah. Hugh Hewitt, on his show yesterday, he had a guest saying where the Republican Party should head.
Where should they head?
That's what he said. We should compromise. If people want homosexual marriage, that should be fine as long as we get Second Amendment rights. And that's on Hugh Hewitt on Salem Radio, Christian talk show host. So, Doug, we're headed there.
Well, if they are gonna institute homosexual marriage, I do want my Second Amendment rights. No, I'm just kidding about that.
Yeah.
I'm just joking about that.
Yeah.
It's just an odd juxtaposition of statements.
That
there.
Is where we're headed from the Christians.
We are, Bob.
From the Christians,
Bob. I don't see any turning back. Frankly, with the election of Obama and the. The state of the conservative movement in America, I find it hard to see a glimmer of hope,
the
Bob.
Conservative
can you help me out?
Movement will eventually support homosexual marriage.
But then what do we do? What do
the
we conservatives do?
The only thing
do?
We could hang out for is to oppose homosexual dental care. That's it. That's the only thing I am going to oppose.
Let's start a 501c 47 group or whatever they are.
Yeah.
And we'll get ready to fight the gay dental care. That's where I draw the line.
The bridge to tomorrow.
Oh.
All right. So, Doug, what else is in the news?
There are a number of jokes.
Obama will be fighting the pirates.
Obama's going to go up against the pirates, but the UN is going to be helping him. So we don't.
Oh, but at least he'll have a military to fight them with that is not overrun with open homosexuals. Because he's already stated that he's not going to implement the open homosexuality in the military immediately like he had claimed.
Oh.
And it might be years before he tries to do that.
Okay.
Which is good. Otherwise, we'd have green berets and negligees. Right?
So he's going to keep the don't ask, don't tell
policy. Yeah, he's going to keep that.
In place.
Yeah. And I mean, how do you have a homosexual on a submarine? So I mean, how do you... It's,
well,
let's not go there.
No. Because that almost led to, that was almost a segue into this story about America's first openly transgendered mayor.
Mm.
And I already agreed before the show that we were striking that story.
Yeah.
The pictures are just disgusting.
The pictures are gross.
The pictures of this guy. Anyway.
Right.
But let's talk about this guy in St. Tammany Parish down in Louisiana. Mm. Now, he was out operating his tractor. And you may not have seen this story, so I hate to drop this on you, Cole, but I just want to get your read on this. Now, he's driving a tractor. It's got a canopy. He says every morning he clips his cell phone to the top of his canopy.
The guy who was shot. Go ahead.
Oh, so you've heard the story.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the guy, for some reason, on this particular morning, a day ago or so, he clipped his phone into his pocket for some reason, his shirt pocket.
Mm.
Well, and then something struck him in the chest really hard. He thought it might have been a rock that was kicked up by the tractor. Well, he takes off his shirt. Turns out, first of all, his Motorola Razr phone falls in pieces down on the ground, and a .45 caliber bullet is there amongst the debris.
That is startling.
So he lives right next to the woods, and police assume it's an unsolved case, but someone was hunting or shooting in the woods, and a stray bullet somehow happened to strike this gentleman's Motorola Razr phone in his shirt pocket, possibly saving his life, certainly saving him from severe injury. And I've got a quote from the gentleman, and I wanted to get your...
Now, if that hunter was as good as West and Craddock, there would not have been a stray bullet.
Did you see those pictures?
West, how old is Weston?
He felled his first elk.
Elk.
He's a young lad.
Just this past week.
Yeah, he's quite
one of the homeschool kids at our church.
Yeah, we don't know how old he is. Get our crack research staff on that. We want to know how old Western Craddock is. Yeah, I saw the pictures. He shot his first elk.
Yeah, what a great job.
Wow.
He said it was the greatest trip.
And his dad sprung it on him. He thought his dad was going hunting. Dad handed him the rifle and said, he was son.
So if Weston Craddock was hunting, there wouldn't have been a stray bullet that hit this guy.
No, the bullet would have been in
the
elk.
It was probably Dick Cheney, I imagine, who was hunting.
Okay.
Right.
Now, Bob, I want to get to the serious matter here.
Yeah.
Now, the gentleman was interviewed, and he said, I don't look at any of this as coincidence. He said, I look at this as God telling me to put my cell phone in that pocket, and I'm grateful and humbled. That was the quote from the gentleman.
I wonder where he'll put his cell phone tomorrow. You know,
God will tell him.
Doug,
he doesn't have to worry
about
it.
We should always give God thanks for all good things.
Yep.
And so he should be thankful that Motorola made a good quality phone.
Yeah, I guess
so. He should be. But there's a problem with this. You know, Jesus was asked about when the tower in Siloam fell and it killed all those people.
I read that
Jesus
story.
Was asked, you know, was this a big plan? Was this because, were they being punished? Was there a reason? And Jesus said, I tell you, no. And about those Galileans who were killed by Pilate, and he mixed their blood with the blood of their animal sacrifices.
Yeah.
And he said, was this because they were the greatest sinners? And Jesus said, I tell you, no. People like to be superstitious, even Christians. And they like to put all this together. And it's tragic because think of the kids who were killed in a fire just this past couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids who die, they suffocate to death on smoke.
Well, I thought of the little girl who was killed over Thanksgiving here in Denver by a stray bullet.
Yeah,
from
that's
right. Some guy just out shooting his gun like a moron in town happened to, by total accident, hit this little girl. And now her family, what is her family supposed to think of what this guy says? That, you know, God personally instructed him and micromanaged the Motorola Razr right into position so that he wouldn't be felled.
Mm-hmm.
But this little girl, obviously God must have reviewed her case and decided that she just didn't measure up for whatever reason and decided to allow the stray bullet to kill her.
Yeah, and, you know, the 700 Club, Pat Robertson did a show like this a while back where there was a Muslim terrorist atop the Empire State Building.
Oh, yeah,
and he
that.
Killed some people.
Yes.
And Pat Robertson showed a couple that said just as the murderer was killing people, their son and his wife were on top of the Empire State Building. And they were kneeling and praying in their living room, just coincidentally, praying a hedge of protection around their son.
Uh-huh.
And the terrorist pointed at the son and then pointed away and killed other people. So what was bizarre about the story is they were from the Middle East. The son was obviously an Arab.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he was visually. You
so
could
he
see.
Looked,
they showed the parents and the kid. So this Muslim terrorist is there to kill Americans, white guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's not going to kill an Arab, not intentionally. And so it's
I would say that's probably why he didn't shoot the guy.
That's why he didn't shoot
the
guy.
He looked like he might be an Arab, and there's plenty of white people around to shoot.
Yeah.
So he shot the white people.
Doug, my brother Brian is famous for pointing out, now God could do miracles if he wants to do miracles.
Absolutely, he sure can.
Yeah, but it's wrong to assume that God is micromanaging every tragedy, every rape, every suffocation, every child who gets burned to death, that God micromanages and says, that kid is going to die, I'm going to let that kid get burned to death.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to save this. You know, in the accidents, when people walk away from terrible accidents?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
like
usually
when a plane comes in, it splits in half and parts fly everywhere.
And somebody walks away.
Somebody walks away.
And they say it's a miracle.
Some people don't, but some people do.
Right. And they say it's a miracle.
Sure. That's what they say.
Well, quite often, why is it that there's never a miracle like that when the plane comes right straight down to the ground?
Ah.
Or like in Pennsylvania on 9/11.
Yeah,
when the planes just disintegrate on impact,
mm-hmm.
Why is it only when they land, you know?
Right.
That, obviously, God could do a miracle when the plane gets obliterated coming straight down if he wanted to.
Right, if he wanted to,
he
could.
And the people who survive accidents, so often it's the DUI. It's It's the alcoholic. It's the criminal.
Right, right.
In a chase, and he kills a 12-year-old girl, like the kid I shared a cell with in Jefferson County, kills a 12-year-old girl, but he survives. The criminals in the van, they all survive, the stolen van.
Well, maybe God has a plan for them.
Yeah. Anyway, it seems like superstition.
It seems a little superstitious. People are awfully superstitious, even Christians. You know what I've noticed, Bob?
Yeah.
Because I'm homeschooling. My daughter is 7. The books about the kids' Bible books,
yeah,
they really, really dwell on the miracle stories.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
It's
all about the miracles.
Yeah, and when you go through, you chart the history of the Bible, the miracles occurred in very brief segments of time and relatively briefly. And we do it in the plot, the overview of the whole Bible. We list every miracle that happens.
That is a phenomenal little study just on the way the miracles are dispersed throughout the Bible.
Isn't that a fun study?
There's hundreds and hundreds of years where there are no miracles.
And the effect of the miracles and how it leads to unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And but like the pagan Greeks, they thought lightning bolts, when they hit your house, they thought Zeus... God was targeting your house.
Mm-hmm.
So Ben Franklin invents the lightning rod.
Yeah.
And the Christians of his day said, how can you do that? God is the one who's aiming the lightning rods. But it turns out if the pagans were right in their superstition, if they were right, then their God lost his aim.
Mm-hmm.
Once the lightning rods went up, he now had bad aim. He can't hit the house anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that kind of shows how the Christians have a tendency to lean a little too heavily on Greek mythology and pagan.
I think so. Where philosophy. We become so superstitious and so shallow, we interpret chicken entrails and tea leaves as though they have meaning. That's what the pagans do.
Yeah.
And Jesus said no. They said, is there a big plan in these people getting killed from that tower falling down? Did they get killed because they were the sinners? And Jesus said, I tell you no.
Mm.
But get your act together. Stop sinning.
Yeah.
Trust in God.
Speaking of people who need to get their act together and stop sinning, I read a story about a young lady who is apparently on television. Her name is, let me find this here. Her name is Joy Behar. Joy Behar is on a television program that is called The View.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, Joy Behar was discussing something with the co-host, one Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Now, I'm not familiar with either of these people. And
I think that latter is a conservative.
Oh, the Hasselbeck?
I think so.
Hasselbeck? Yeah, it might be, because she said to Behar, she said, I think homeschooling actually is a good thing. They were discussing something. Homeschooling came up. And then Behar cut her off and said, a lot of them are demented.
What a jerk.
She said, a lot of them are demented when they're homeschooled. They're afraid of children. They learn to be
scared. Afraid of children.
That's what she said.
Come on, Doug.
They're afraid of children, and they learn to be scared of other children.
Denver Bible Church is almost all homeschool kids.
Almost all.
They're fun. They're leaders. They're bold. I mean, we just mentioned Weston Craddock.
Yeah.
The most extraordinary kids. And I've been on the air for 17 years. Families, kids, students have come to me where the kids are scared to death. Of other kids?
Oh, yeah.
They're afraid of going back to school.
Yeah.
To their public school.
Bob, I lived that for an entire semester. I literally changed the path that
they're
I walked
horrified.
To school, the path that I came home from school for lunch, because I was so terrified that this bully was going to beat me up again.
Yeah, so,
I remember. I lived it. That's terror.
So by the millions, there's millions of kids that have been terrified from other kids in our public schools.
They're the ones who were afraid.
And, Doug, you know, I remember in high school, I got into it a couple times.
You had bullying, some bullying experiences? Now, you weren't the bully.
Well, I was a freshman, first week of school to play basketball after school. And a sophomore came up to me. Now, I actually said to him, would you like to play?
Yeah.
And he said, what'd you say to me?
Okay.
And I said, would you like to play basketball? You know, we're going to get a few guys and have a game. He said, what'd you say to me? I said, I just asked you if you want to play basketball. He said, you want to step outside?
Well, not really. I would rather play basketball.
So I said, you know what? Yeah, I would like to step outside. I figure it's my first week of 4 years in a public school.
Yeah.
I'm either going to get beat up on for the rest of my career there. And you know what? I did a funny thing, Doug, because I'm not big, you know, just around the waist. But otherwise, I'm not big. But I did these weird things. Isometrics that whole
isometrics.
Summer.
Isometrics, yeah.
In my arms, my forearms and all, I was able to arm wrestle anybody in the school.
Oh, yeah? So this guy didn't know what he was getting into.
It was
obviously just
a coinkidink. It was a coincidence, right?
If you believe in that sort of
thing. So the gym empties out, and it's me and this other guy, and we put up our dukes.
Yeah.
And I punched him right in the face.
Oh.
He left his books, his jacket. He started crying, and he ran home.
All right.
And that was it. And about 2 years later, some other bully. I remember we were in a stairway at the high school, Manchester Regional High School,
yeah,
North Allen, New Jersey. And he started, you know, threatening me in front of 15 kids.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, you know, Jesus Christ saved you twice. First time, 2,000 years ago. Second time today that I'm not beating your face.
And that's a great line.
Was that a good line?
That's a great line.
Just came out right on the spot.
See, now that sounds
and that was it.
That sounds like something a homeschool student would lay on some punk. Yeah. Bob, I don't think you had a very you didn't have a very good class of bully in your high school.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember the first time I stood up to a bully, I got beat senseless.
But you grew up in Buffalo, New York. No,
this was out in West Texas.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, he beat me up, and I spent until he moved away, I was literally terrified.
Well, West Texas. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was in New Jersey.
Well,
the Garden State.
Okay.
So we didn't have people like you had in West Texas.
I mean, if you're going to be a bully, it would seem that you have to have some bona fides that you've actually beat someone up at some point, or nobody's going to take you very seriously as a bully.
Yeah.
But that's beside the point. Mm-hmm. Homeschool kids. My daughter's homeschool. And she interacts with the public school nuisances
in the neighborhood.
Yes, she does. Yeah. And you know what? And all the parents, without exception, they all tell us that our
daughter's
their favorite
is
of the friends.
The most wonderful kid in the whole neighborhood.
Yep.
And you know, we see that where the kids at our church are fun. They've got integrity. They're courageous.
Yeah.
You know, and kids are different. Some are introvert. Some are extrovert. But this whole thing of socialization, the last thing you want is your daughter in a hallway between classes with a 17-year-old boy, and she's 14 years old being socialized.
No, I don't want
it. You don't want it.
No.
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 And that's why you avoid public school.
That's exactly why she's not there. And also, she's a blue belt in karate. So not only is she not afraid of other children, she's not afraid of most adults. She intimidates me sometimes.
She's great.
With her moves.
She is great.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time.
Oh.
And this is the end of the week.
Where did it go?
It's the end of the week. Another week of Bob Inyart Live comes to a close here. Mm. And I really appreciate you letting me come on and get your take on some of these stories and to hear about your bullying experience.
Yeah, Doug, and we're out of time. The teenager who committed suicide
live on the internet. Yeah,
on the internet.
We can't get to that.
Just utterly devastating. And, of course, William Provine in Ben Stein's movie Expelled, famous evolutionist, said, hey, there's no hope. There's no God. There's no hope.
That's what
there's
he said.
No purpose.
Yeah.
I'm going to blow my own brains out.
That's what he said. If he said he had a relapse of his cancer or his tumor or whatever, that he'd just kill himself.
He's going to blow his brains out. And, in fact, he has had a relapse.
Oh, he
has. So hopefully he doesn't follow through with that.
See, now, to me, that's fear. Mm. He's living in fear. And he's obviously not courageous if he's just going to off himself.
This kid who killed himself had just read Richard Dawkins' book, The God Delusion, and his father found the bookmark in the last page of the book.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, that's a separate story.
And it was assigned at school, I think, some assigned reading or recommended
at
reading.
College.
That's a separate story, you're right.
College. Don't go to college unless you I suppose if you have to.
Well, to be an architect or a doctor.
Hopefully we can figure out a way
to public
home
school
college.
Teacher.
Home college someday. That's what we're
We got it already. Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school.